I don't know, church, if I've told you lately that I love you. That I sure do. I pray for you. Yeah. Aw. Almost sounds like a Valentine's. Aw. Yeah. But I love you. I pray for God's best for you all the time. I know that, as I've said in past messages, as we've started off this year, that last year God did a great work in a tough time. Got us reestablished in a lot of ways. We got the ship upright. We established some things that are helping us move forward. If that was the freshman year, this is our sophomore year. Things are more challenging. I would also say, since this is not my first rodeo, I would say the minute that we are making strides and doing the right thing with God and following Jesus, the enemy is going to do everything he can to knock us off of our game, to distract us. So be on the lookout. Be on the lookout. You've got to work at unity, not just pray for it. You know, we look at each other and we go, I love you, but sometimes I just want to throttle you. You know, that kind of feeling. You don't feel that? Okay, it's always peaches and cream for you, right? Okay, no. Saying, wherever you're serving, whatever you're doing, going to be new challenges. Remember to keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your arm around your brother or sister, and let's keep moving forward, because after the sophomore year comes the junior year. Yeah, there's three of you that are listening to me this morning. That's great. We've got to keep our eyes on this, because if we're going to keep fueling our faith, it's not just something that we do as a checklist. It's how we live, and that's what we've been dealing with. Before I jump into the message itself, I would love to know, how many of you are in your 20s? Could I see a show of hands? Third time through. That's me. Fourth time. That's great. No, one more time. I got distracted by the people in my age group. My goodness, we got a lot. And how many of you are like 19, or maybe you just turned into your 30s? Got any? You got that? Yeah, we got a few. I'm not really picking on you. I just want you to know God's stirring up something in the 20-somethings at Rock Springs. And that doesn't exclude anyone outside those. I'm just excited to see where that might be. And again, we're not going to card you if you come to this, but I do want to invite you. On the 5th, that would be next Sunday, I'll treat you to lunch if you'll come have lunch with me. Okay? But I need to know you're coming. And the reason is not to have you in a room so I can ambush you. I actually don't want to do much talking, although that will happen. I will talk. That's one of God's gifts, I guess. I don't know. The other thing is I want to listen. I believe that there is a deep need for us to reach 20-somethings, early 30s. I need your help. I know some of you have come to me and said, what's going on at Rock Springs for 20-somethings? And I had to say, not much right now, but it could be. That's why God sent you here. If you can do this, I'm looking over here to one of my cohorts. Do we have a registration for that?
You can by the end of the service.
I love it. We have a can-do spirit around Rock Springs. I'm looking over at Bethany because she makes things happen. The Church Center app is so flexible and useful. She is going to pull out her device. She's going to set up a way to register for that. If you'll pull out your Church Center app, go on there, register. Please let us know so that I can buy you lunch. And then I'd love to see as many of you there as possible. And if you're like in your 30s or like you're 19, we'll let you in. But don't come for just the free food. Come because you want to see something good happen between God and that age group. All right? Y'all got it on that? Cool. Joy also mentioned, and I do know these are active because I went ahead and registered for the first summit. It's coming up on February the 11th. That's good, since I'm supposed to be helping lead it. I registered for that. You go, I've not been here long enough to know what the summit is. Last year we started and we set aside three different times. I think they were roughly in the February and in May and then in September. What it's an opportunity is to get out of the day-to-day service or the day-to-day routine of Rock Springs, and we get together, and one of the highlights is lunch. Here we go. It's free lunch. You can come to that too. But it's also a time for training, how to be a better servant of God, how to learn what's going on at Rock Springs, how can we be more effective. And people say, well, I went to three of them. That's enough. It's like, well, it's not a thing that you check off. It's a gathering, and each one is different. And I'm here to tell you, because we did some planning this week, and I'm looking for Tanya. She's probably in the other end of the building. And Bethany and I, y'all do not want to miss this one. You just don't. I know I say that every time, but God keeps doing some really amazing things. And I'm just telling you, this one is going to be extraordinary. And I can almost guarantee you, you will never forget it for the rest of your life. And it's free. You just need to come make yourself available. You can do that on the Church Center app. We're trying to get everybody to reach a little higher, lean in a little bit more deliberately, show up and keep growing up, because the payoff is going to be awesome. Back to what we're talking about today and how do you fuel your faith. Here's your 30-second test or quiz to get you in the right frame of mind. Everybody kind of think in your mind, what would I do if this were the question? If you've ever had anybody who made a huge impact on your life, you've likely said something like, I don't know where I'd be if it weren't for them. Anybody ever said that? You can look back on, I have a whole bunch of people that I'm going to share with you here in a minute, but I've heard people say, or I've said it, I'm so glad that he showed up when he did, because I don't know where I'd be if he hadn't. I'm not sure that I would have made it through all this if it hadn't been for her. These are important statements, because that means that was a watershed moment for you. If it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for her, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be where I am today apart from them. You have your people. Let me tell you a few about mine, one of them happens to be sitting right over to my right, and that is my mom. And my dad has already gotten to go to heaven, and I look forward to seeing him again someday. But if it hadn't been for my mom and dad, and by extension my grandparents on both sides of my family, honoring Jesus, directing, guiding, teaching, helping me be consistent. There were times that, and my dad's gone, and I mean him no disrespect, it was a testimony I gave while he was still alive. When I was 15, I hated him. I hated him, because it's like, could we not get along? Am I not good enough? And yet I got past my I think I know it all stage. And while I did not appreciate the way that he was making an impact on my life then, I certainly look back on it and go, ooh, so glad he stuck with it, because we'd all be in a heap of trouble if he hadn't. I had some mentors, and there was Brother Bob Elliott. We worked with him in evangelistic work for many, many years, and I told him before he also got to go to heaven, Brother Bob Elliott shaped me in helping me understand practical teaching, that it's not just what you know, but how do you get the handles on it and you move it into action. Huge, huge impact. I know of pastors that showed me how to love people, even whenever it's tough to do. I also know of, this is how long ago it happened. It's so long ago that there is a woman that I've forgotten her name, but she lived in Claremore, Oklahoma. And I went to stay at her house when I was 12 years old, while we were there in a revival, and she said, have you ever heard of C.S. Lewis? And I'm like, no, I haven't. I was 12 years old, and she gave me a book, and it was called The Screwtape Letters, and it literally was a defining moment for my life to help me understand that it's okay to love Jesus and also not check your brains at the door. That was huge, because I think we have an informed faith. I have professors at Belmont University that gave me a perspective on how to follow Jesus in ways I never even dreamed, and I tried my best to thank them in the moment. You might have just at the right time people as well. I hope you'll think of them. And I just want to say, if these people have made an impact on you, have you told them? Have you written a thank you note? Have you sent them a text? Have you bought them a cup of coffee? I'm just saying straight up, if you got to go to sleep right now, go do that. Do that, you know, as soon as you wake up from your nap, go take care of that. What I'm talking about is anybody in your life that has provided, I think it's on the screen, people that have provided insight, into things that you just couldn't quite figure out. They provided encouragement that is beyond measure. And they provided perspective of saying, love where you're coming from, but have you considered this other perspective, the point of view that comes from wisdom or experience? And one of the things I would say, especially during recent years, I have such deep appreciation for people who've provided me with hope. They reminded me, not just, I hope, but it's like, no, our hope is in Jesus. Stay true, stay strong. As I was referring to my dad, how many of you can name those kinds of people in your life? Might have been a coach, might have been a teacher, might have been somebody. It's like they provided correction in your life, and you did not like it at the time. In fact, some of you are looking at me like, at the time? That's the way I feel right now. Right now. They might have even provided you with confrontation. It might have been that it was an intervention, and for some of you, it was a literal intervention. People that loved you showed up in your life and got all up in your business. And you, there just aren't even words for how you feel about it. It's like God dropped them into your life at just the right moment. I hope that you will think about those kinds of things, because this is another part of these five catalysts, these five environments, these five things that come together to help us fuel our faith. After spending years of trying to pursue Jesus alongside other people, looking at the words of Jesus and understanding what he said, what he did, there are a lot of things that will fuel your faith, but some of the things that we're talking about, these five things seem to show up in every life I have ever seen that I would say, now that person is a strong, Christ-following, rock-solid sort of faith. That's what this series is about. If Jesus had an agenda, if he had a goal of why he was teaching and why he asked some 300 questions that we have recorded in the New Testament, if he was after something, what was his agenda and his goal? I see that then, as well as now, his goal was to help people understand who God is and what he is like. But more importantly, after us understanding who God is and what he is like, Jesus said, I want you to trust him. Not just know about him. I want you to trust him with your life. This is not a religion. It is a relationship. That's why I've said from the get-go, and I hope you'll go back and check out each one of the installments of this series, what he was talking about is not faith as we have come to understand it in American culture. Yeah, I got to have faith, faith, faith. Not that. And it's not like, oh, I prayed a prayer, I got out of hell free. It's not, oh, I go on about my merry way because I believe a bunch of things about Jesus. No, he said, I want you to know who God is, what he's like, and I want you to trust him so that it's a faith that does things differently with language, does things differently with money, does things differently with relationships, does things differently with our thought processes than we ever could have imagined before. It's the kind of faith that changes things, that steps into the middle of messes so that we can help clean it up in the name of Jesus. It's the kind of faith that confronted things that are wrong, not in order to say, I'm right, but to say, God's got this beautiful, beautiful purpose for you. Which explains why Jesus kept saying from start to finish in his public ministry of 3 to 3.5 years, he used two words, follow me, follow me, follow me. Meaning, if you told me that and I was supposed to do that, I'd just follow you around. I would be with you. You'd show me stuff. I would watch what you did. I'd listen to what you say. That's what he said. Follow me. Because he was doing stuff in the name of God. He was showing us. He was changing things. And he said to these that were closest to him, like, come and follow me. Watch what I do. Then you need to trust into God like I do. But over 2,000 years, there's always been a drift, and we tend to drift away from what is good, not toward it. And the organized church, if you will, over 2,000 years has drifted and kind of watered it down to those other words, and that is, believe in me. And while Jesus did say, you need to believe in me and the works that I do, he was not saying, you need to believe a bunch of facts about me. I was born in Bethlehem. I grew up in Nazareth. I lived such and such years. I died. Those are facts, and they are part of what we're supposed to think about. But it's not about thinking things or believing things about Jesus. Because I'm just telling you, got to tell you my church background. What it amounted to sometimes, what I heard, or at least what I caught from the church background that I grew up in, is if you can sit in enough services like this, and somebody like me that's a professional Christian has a microphone on his head or his chest or whatever, if you sit through it enough, then you need to come to church every single week and be spiritually beat up so that you can feel bad about yourself and all the things that you did wrong. And then once you've been through all that, then you have an altar call and you don't feel quite as bad about it. And then when the service is over, you go back and you live the way you used to. But it's like, come back for more of that next week. Yeah. He's good, you're bad, hell's hot, get right or get left, turn or burn. Okay, you've heard enough of that. You're good. Carry on. Keep calm and carry on. I just don't... That's not what I see Jesus doing. That is not what he did. But the church has moved from follow me to just pay attention and believe in me. That's what we are taught to believe that Jesus said. The reason that is because human nature is always looking for what's easier. We're always looking for what's safer, less risky, less demanding. And Jesus was saying, no, the longer you follow me, it doesn't get more comfortable. It doesn't get easier. It gets richer, but it gets more strenuous. You're going, boy, you are such an encourager to me today, Pastor. Thanks so much. But I'm saying his invitation to you to follow him is an invitation to not stay where you are. He wants you to follow him and do things with him. Be changed. Change the world. It's not about just merely believing things. It's not about staying the same. It is about following and doing things that would make a difference in our lives and in the world. And I'll just, these are all, we're refreshing, but repetition is the key to learning, y'all. Here's a fact. Belief by itself doesn't make any difference. I even thought this week, Jesus even said, you know, even the devil believes these things. Doesn't change him. Belief alone will leave you with a feeble, frail, and fragile faith, and I don't think that's what we need in this day and time. I don't think that's what you need for your own personal satisfaction of soul and a relationship with God. I also don't believe it's what will serve your family the best, and it certainly is not going to do our world any good. In fact, I would say if you're listening online or in this room, if you came in here today, it's like I came because I was just supposed to, or mama made me or whatever. I'm just telling you, if you say, you know, I lost my faith, maybe that's why. Is that you were thinking it was a set of facts or this just list of things that you rattle off, and it's never become, as the old preacher used to say, if you could just get it from your head to your heart, the difference might be, you know, 18 inches right there. I don't know. It could be why you lost your faith, because faith is like a muscle. Use it or lose it. It has to be flexed. It has to be exercised. Because if you don't exercise your faith, it will grow weak or it will just fade away. That's why Jesus invites us to follow, to do, to act, to think, to respond. That's why I said, great question that will serve you for the rest of your life is, and you can put this up wherever you see it, in your truck or on your mirror, wherever. I'm just telling you, what would I do if I was confident God was with me? What would I think differently if I was confident that God is with me all the time? And that he's constant and true. How would I respond? How would I react? What would I start? What would I stop? What kind of good kind of trouble would I stir up? Because that's what walking by faith looks like, y'all. It's stepping into a real world that has to deal with bills and responsibilities of job or school or family. And you do it as if God, as Jesus portrayed him to be, is literally with you. His Holy Spirit is living inside of you while you're doing that. How would you respond differently? Just asking the question, what fuels rock solid trust and faith onto Jesus? What are the essential ingredients? What are those ingredients? How do you have go the distance faith? How do you have in spite of faith? How do you, I'm going to follow Jesus anyway, no matter what comes my way. What kind of things fuel that faith? Like I said, watching other people who follow Jesus, looking at what Jesus taught. I think there's at least five of them. 2 weeks ago, we talked about this one. That is practical teaching. Practical teaching is huge. What that means is you take the Word of God, you take this precious gift we've been given in the Bible, and you figure out the handles, the applications. Because I hear people give their testimony or faith stories, if you will, and they always include somewhere along the way. They will tell you, somebody invited me to a church service, or they invited me to a group thing, and it wasn't just that I got to go to the group. It was like we were talking about the Bible, and then somebody explained what that meant, and not only what it meant, but what am I supposed to do with it? And then they had the audacity to challenge me, are you going to do that between now and the next time we meet? You go, that changed everything. That's when my faith grew, because someone actually taught me and challenged me to actually do what I said I believe. Because I believe when our active faith intersects with God's faithfulness, our faith gets bigger. But you don't know that on the front end. You have to say, I'm going to take what I don't know, I'm going to invest it in what you say you know, God, and we're going to do this. And then on the other side of that, you go, God, you're amazing. Wow. Second thing we talked about was last week, and that is personal ministry. When people tell their faith stories, they talk about this all the time. They'll always talk about the first time that they stepped out of their comfort zone and they stopped, as I like to say, they got up off of their blessed assurance and they actually did something with their faith. It was no longer a spectator sport. It's like, it's an all skate. Everybody, come on in. Let's do this. Let's see what we can figure out to do together. They step out of their comfort zone. They confronted their inadequacy because people go, I just don't know if I got what it takes. Well, you don't know till you go.
That's right.
But when you step out into things you don't know and you know that God's been nudging you to do it, that's when God comes through. That's when your faith grows. I put it there in your notes. Pushing through our inadequacy in order to say yes to God for the benefit of other people, that actually grows your faith. And all of that statement is true. You do it in the name of Jesus Christ for the benefit of someone else.
Yeah.
It's not because, oh, this is just so fun. Because sometimes doing the right thing, it ain't fun. Still right. And it's the good thing to do because you're blessing other people in the name of Jesus. Today, as I've already given you a preview, the third thing I see that seems to be in every life of strong, rock-solid faith and trust in Jesus is providential relationships. And I want you to just stick with me for a few minutes, and I've got an extra measure today that's going to help you, I think, grab a hold of this. Providential. The word providential, obviously coming from the same word we get provide, but it has to do with God providing. Providential relationships. When I hear people talk about their faith journey, when they talk about their testimony of how they got to Rock Springs or how they came to, I know Jesus now and I'm going to be baptized or this is what God's doing in my life, when I hear them talk about it, you will often hear it include, you know, I met this guy and he invited me to church, or I met this girl, and she invited me into this group of other women that were studying, or somebody says, you know what, I was trying to mind my own business. I'm making stuff up as I go. I'm riffing right now. I used to live out in California, or Kentucky, or, you know, Texas. We might as well throw them in. But I moved out to Colorado, and I was just going to be, you know, out in God's great outdoors, and it's like, don't anybody bother me. And yet I had this neighbor that they were just so persistent and they were so kind and I couldn't be unkind to them. But they like, hey, you want to go to church with me? And inside they were going, nope. You hear these stories. And yet that neighbor said, well, that's cool. But, you know, if you ever want to, I'm ready. I'll buy you lunch or something, you know, crazy like that. And eventually... And I love seeing this over the years. They finally make it into like one of our services here on campus, and they'll sit way back at the back, usually over to my left. That's weird. It's a habit. Anyway, that's no reflection on anyone who's at the back there. Just like that's the way it usually happens. And the fact is, they'll see that this ain't their grandmother's church, and then They show up for a couple weeks, and then they're not here for a couple weeks. And then they're here for about 3 weeks. And each time they come back, each segment, they move up like two rows until usually they're sitting in these sections right here. It's a weird thing. Just been at this a long time. You see some strange patterns. I'm just saying, people go, I met this guy, I met this friend, I met this neighbor. This neighbor, they were Christians, and they invited us to, you know, barbecue with them. And people say, I had this coach. And like I told you, I had this professor. I was already a Christ follower, but this woman made such a huge difference because she'd already had cancer three times. She already had a degree from Oxford, and then she had another one from, I don't know, somewhere else. She was way, way smart, but she loved Jesus and so down to earth, and she showed me. It's like, it's okay to be smart, and it's okay to, oh, I love that. Sorry, I'm just having my own little moment right now. But maybe you had a coach or someone who you look back and go, they introduced me to faith. They introduced me to Jesus. They took me closer to Jesus than I have ever, ever been in my life. And like I said, you look back on these people, and the ones I'm trying to get you to identify in your mind and your heart is, it's like God dropped them into your life at just the right time. Do you think they strategically did that? Probably not. That's what I mean. They're providential. It's God providing in ways that you never even dreamed He could. You don't know it at the time. Most of the time, providential relationships are never understood in the moment in which they're happening. But you look back, and what you say is, there was literally a God moment. It was a divine intervention. As I said, some of you have had literal interventions, and those people were the voice, the hands, the feet of God in your life. But God brought them around just at the right time. Wow. And God does some really crazy things. Y'all are about to hear about that here in just a few minutes. But here's another thing I love, and I've seen this in my own life because I've been a Christ follower long enough, and like I said, not my first rodeo. What you find after you follow Jesus for long enough is not only do you see these providential relationships as you look back and find out you were a providential relationship in somebody else's story. And you go, well, nah, I didn't sign up for that. Tough. That's the way it works. We need each other. We're better together. But it's not like, I'm going to go in and be a, you know, I have my Christ complex. I'm going to come in. Because that's what preachers like me, you know, professional Christians, you start thinking, you start believing your own press. Like, I need to go find my cape. So put my cape on and somebody's got a problem. Let me pray with you. That's not a providential relationship. I'm not even sure what that is. I'm saying if God wants to use us by taking His word and putting it into action, and then we move into personal ministry, it is a given that if you keep pursuing others, keep pursuing Jesus with other people, you will notice providential relationships, and then you will notice that God actually uses you to be that providential relationship. How cool is it to know that you are a crucial part or could be a crucial part of someone else's faith story? That's powerful to me. But you don't know that in the moment. Let's just admit this fact. The defining moments of your life, no matter whether you're in your 20s, 30s, or greater, the defining moments of your life always involve other people. Always. Good or bad. There are people, I need to see if there is an amen on any of this. There are people, you're better off because you met them. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, let's turn that coin over. There are some folks you wish you had never met. I'm just telling you, you shouldn't be surprised. None of us should be surprised to think that God uses relationships in order to grow our faith. In a crucial way. Not on a singular way. It's not just that, but it is definitely includes that. Because when God sent His Son into the world, He came as one of us. Relational. He came in a way that we could understand and relate to Him. so that we could have him interact with us as human beings, so that he could get through our thick heads the truth, and through our thick hearts the redemptive plan of God, so that he could change us. That's relationship, 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 all the way. He still works in people's lives that way. It's the reason the apostle John, this is my favorite gospel, and I love how Peterson put it in the paraphrase. He called it the Message. But in the first chapter of John, I put it in my notes, but he said that John was saying that the Word, talking about Jesus, the literal Word of God, became flesh and blood, and he moved into the neighborhood. He's in the hood. And Leanne's going to tell me after the service, please don't do that ever again. You are not street, no matter how hard you try.
Amen.
Thank you so much. I'm glad. This is what I mean by unity in the body of Christ. We have an agreement that I should stop that. John went on to say, we saw his glory. Talking about making kind of a reference to how God showed his glory to Israel by his presence in a cloud during the day and fire by night. We saw his glory with our own eyes. And John was there. He camped out with Jesus. He saw his glory with our own eyes. It is a one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son. And he said he was generous inside and out, and he was true from start to finish. I know that because I lived with him. I want that kind of relationship, and I know that it can happen in these providential relationships. Because anyone whose life intersected with Jesus, that was a defining moment. Very defining moment. And some people said yes to him and some said no, but it was a defining moment. But the ones who said yes, the ones who said, I don't understand this, but I'm going to go with him, because like I've said, if you know, like James, the brother of Jesus, believed that he was the Son of God, how good do you have to be to convince your brother you are the Son of God? I don't always understand everything Jesus says, but I'm going to go with him because he said, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again. He pulled it off. I'm going with him. Okay, so that's not my notes, but if that person said, yes, I'm going to go with Jesus, then those people started intersecting with other people with the good news, and it strengthened the faith of the person sharing the good news, and it affected and brought providential relationships to the people their lives intersected with. Some of you look like you need a comic book right now. Come on, think with me. These are important because we're going to be done here in just a few minutes, and you're going to be able to intersect with people at McDonald's or Wendy's or Fiesta or wherever it is you go. Or maybe they're going to be at your house, and that's why I like preach longer, preacher. Just preach longer. They're at my house. Okay. Some of you will get that. Okay. You will have an opportunity to be used by God in providential relationships. Here's a situation, and it kind of gives rise to this extra special portion that I think you're going to get a lot out of. When Jesus invited one of the 12, his name was Philip. Everybody say Philip. Okay. When Jesus invited Philip to follow him, as he did to all of them, but he said, Philip, come follow me. That's when a defining moment happened in Philip's life, but he goes and finds a guy that he is very close to, close friends with, and his name is Nathaniel, but we will call him Nate. Everybody say Nate. Okay. Philip goes to Nate, and he says, we found him. We found him. He is the Messiah. He is the chosen one. He is the anointed one. He's the one that we Jewish boys have been looking for our whole lives, have been going on for generations. We have found him, and you need to come with me to meet him. And Nate is like a lot of our friends. He goes, sure you have. Did your mama drop you on your head when you were little? You know, come on. Yeah, whatever. And besides that, you told me earlier in the conversation, Philip, you said he was from Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's like, you know, we've got each our community. We go, oh, no, nothing good comes out of there. Wow. You really think a lot of yourself there, don't you, Nate? But in John, it is recorded, he said, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? But I want you to see that Philip didn't give up, even though Nate said, well, I don't know. All he said to him after that was, okay, but come and see. Come and see. Not asking you to change a whole lot, just come and see. I think, because I'm cynical, that Philip probably said, okay, suit yourself. I'm going to go follow Jesus, and I'll be in the Bible, and you go do whatever it is, and no one will ever remember your name. Nanny, nanny, boo. That's yeah. I think, no, that Nathaniel was actually very grateful to Philip for the rest of his life, because he got to be on the ringside seat of seeing the world change when Jesus showed up. How cool is that, to see the one who brought salvation to the world? That is beautiful. I have been privileged to be on a ringside seat to so many different life change events for people, to see them come to Jesus, and they don't all come to Jesus in the same way. But I'm never, I never cease to be amazed at how God does this providential relationship thing, or when He does this, because obviously you and I can't create providential relationships, because that wouldn't make it providential. Thank you, Captain Obvious. Okay. But you and I can be here and show up, not just for Sunday services or anything like that, but we can all be, and I think we should be proactive in trying to get into relationships with people whose faith informs strong decisions for Christ so that we can grow because of it. I want you to hear about one, and he's here, and he's got a microphone in hand, and he has agreed to do this with me as long as we sit down. Otherwise, he and I will be pacing back and forth. Everybody say, "Hey, Russell."
Hey, Russell.
This is Russell Rigler.
Rigler.
And we do not have a script.
No, I have no clue what's coming.
Isn't it the best? This might be a providential relationship.
Yes, sir.
Russell, you and I have known one another for...
6 years.
Yeah. I never dreamed that you would intersect with my life. Not one bit.
I never dreamed that I would be here today, no.
And you and I are ministers together, shoulder to shoulder, trying to reach people for Jesus and grow them up, yes.
Amen.
Tell us some of the things that you do in, through, for Rock Springs Church Family.
Well, one of the major things I do is I've been involved with CR, Celebrate Recovery. I kind of jumped aboard on that program the week I got here.
Yeah.
Started out setting up chairs.
You've set up a few chairs since then.
I've set up a few chairs. Kind of why my back's kind of hurting me today. Okay.
Because the chairs you're sitting in right now, y'all, in this room, that's part of some of the work.
Amen.
With kids, too, in all kinds of...
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. I got to teach the landing for a year and a half with several beautiful people along my side.
Yep, so, yep. Yeah. And that is our Celebrate Recovery environment for teenagers.
Amen.
Yes, right, sir. Now, you, along with others who rotate and take care of the responsibilities, you help in Rock Springs Kids.
Yes, that is great.
And you
great
get absolutely passion. Nothing out of that, right?
Nothing at all. No, that is it's a beautiful experience. You guys ought to try it.
And yeah, and I've seen you work up a sweat doing that.
Yes, those
but
kids.
At the same time, I've never heard you say, "Well, that was worthless."
Yeah, no.
You say
never.
It blesses you and you help them. To go back, to put it mildly, your childhood was traumatic. Yes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That led you down some dark paths.
A very long time.
Okay. Yes. How long, in terms of, bring us up to speed with where you know I'm going with this. Because providential relationships often happen in a room like this, but sometimes they happen other places.
Yes, definitely. David came into my life. God put David in my life. It was 6 years ago. I was in the back of a Montezuma County Sheriff's Patrol car. I was getting... what's the word? Anyway, they were shipping me back to Delta, Colorado, because I had a warrant out for my arrest. And so I had just spent 3 months. I should start. I had a 40-year addiction to methamphetamines. So anyway, I had 3 months of sobriety under my belt, and I was living about 8,800 feet up in Ridgeway, Colorado, away from everybody, everything. And anyway, that's when Jesus came to me and said, follow me. So I stayed up there about 3 months, took on the, well, with only his help, took on sobriety, which was a huge thing. So anyway, it got to the point where I knew that I no longer could stay up there. It was time to come back to reality. And I only had one place to go, and that was here in Cortez. My mom lived here. So I came over and had a great, great positive attitude. That this is what's going on. And I had a family member that was staying with my mom at the time. And she didn't want me there. She knew about the warrant that I had, and it was for a traffic violation, guys. But anyway, she knew I had a warrant, so she called the police and said I was threatening her life, and the police showed up. They did find out that, it wasn't what she was saying was not true, but they had to do their jobs because I did have a warrant out of Delta County, so... got in the back of a car, and like I said, they were taking me to Delta, and I was so, so angry. I remember yelling at God, and I'd never done that before like I did. It was amazing. But anyway, I was very angry. I was very angry at God. And then...
This is where it goes.
This is where it goes. Yeah. You go, crazy. So really? I'm sitting back there and I'm yelling and I'm a basket case. And the sheriff that was taking me over there, he said, excuse me, you don't mind if I turn on a podcast in my church? And it's like, not a problem. He said, my battery's running low. I got to get this in. So this is when David Ramsey came into my life.
He's under arrest in the back of a cop car, and then he is subjected to listening to me on an audio podcast. Amen. I'm like, amen. Your life is just in the pits, man, in the pits.
But I have to be honest. Ended up being the greatest day of my life. As soon as the podcast was over, I remember distinctively looking at God and saying, I promise you, and I promise myself that when I get out of jail, I'm going to find Rock Springs.
And I love that you showed up. I have to tell this.
You're going to throw me under the bus, aren't you?
I think I had seen you 1 week, but you came back the next week, and that's when I had a chance to introduce myself.
Yes.
And I pretty much led off with, you're new here.
Yes.
And the reason I knew that is because you had on a really nice shirt and a tie.
A tie, yes.
And I'm like...
I never had, yeah.
Now, to give him a couple more weeks to get situated here,
yeah.
But it wasn't just me, Tanya, others.
Listen, I have to give credit to each and every individual that's been in my life for the last 6 years, because if it wasn't for you guys, wouldn't be. But,
and you and I talked about that this isn't about me, it's not really about you, it's about how God used these things providentially, and we didn't see it happening at the time. Continue on where it's gone from there.
Oh.
And finish your thought.
I don't remember what my thought was, but David, it's in your message as far as going beyond the pushing through the inadequacy. That was huge, but God has used me.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah. And will continue to use me.
Because I'd like to get anybody, and not looking for praise for him, but has anybody in this room feel like their life is better and closer to Jesus because of us?
Wow. God bless you guys.
Now,
thank you.
Russell nor I do that for what yeah. you just did. That's not Amen. The point. I'm just saying it's really hard to connect all the chains and pieces on how this works until you say this has been happening and it continues to happen. Because the people who have been impacted by you now have the privilege of impacting someone.
You know, and I've had the privilege of seeing those people move on and be the same to other people as you were to me.
Yep. And before I let you go, because I could talk to you, as we often
yes,
do.
Yes, I think they'd get tired of that.
You have seen the impact of practical teaching so that you can apply it. We've talked about that. Yep. You obviously are putting in personal ministry service.
Yes, definitely. Mean,
you look forward to that every day. That's what you've told
that
me.
That is my life,
And it's not just Sunday things.
No.
Every day.
It is my, it's every
But
day.
Also, you have seen and are literal poster boy, if you will, of God uses us in providential ways in relationships, yes?
Yes, most likely.
Definitely. I'm very, very grateful for you and so many others. But can I pray for you before you depart? Heavenly Father, I love this man so much, and I appreciate everything that he does to honor you and push forward in your kingdom. Lord, speaking in front of a large group like this, that's not just nerve-wracking. It's like, okay, Lord, just help them see Jesus through us. That's it. This is not about winning the day and everybody patting us on the back. But Lord, it is. Keep us encouraged. Keep us strong. And keep us definitely focused on you so that we can be used in other providential relationships in the days to come. Thank you for what you've done, what you're going to continue to do, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen. Please thank him for being here. Thank you, Russell. Attaching this to what's already in Scripture, the author of Hebrews, and we don't know exactly who that was, probably Paul, but whoever wrote the book of Hebrews weighs in on this, what we've just talked about, whenever he says this, that there's the potential to lose faith and to drift, and that we have to do some things to pull that back. And that is, in Hebrews 10, verse 23, he says, let us hold unswervingly. How many of you have ever driven swervingly? There's some people who do that on Main Street. Freaks me out. Anyway, let us hold unswervingly to the hope, not I hope, but the fact that Jesus lived, died, rose again. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, because he, talking about Jesus, expressing him, who God is to us, he who promised is faithful. He will stay true to his word. But then he shifts gears. The writer says, in order to actually be unswerving, he says, that's why let us consider, let us give intentional thought. Let's do what we're doing today to say this matters and we need to pay attention to it. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. How can we help proactively going into any situation, knowing that the words that we speak, the acts that we do, the kinds of things that we try to leave in our path are actually helping proactively to spur another person on to love. God is love, a relationship with God, an expression of his love, with love and good deeds, because real faith actually does stuff. Not just in what we believe. It's not a list of things to believe, but it's we actually express it. And I love this next one because I had this one thrown at me during the times. Well, we won't go into pandemic issues right at the moment, because when people were using this verse with me, it was like, do you really think that we are trying to forsake the meeting of one another? We never missed a Sunday at Rock Springs, even though we had to do it in different methods. I'm just telling you, I believe we ought to stay connected in every way possible. But he says, let's consider how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some is the habit of doing, meaning, I think I can do this by myself. I don't need y'all. Not giving up meeting together, as some in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Why is that true? Because human beings are crafted in the image of God, and when it comes to our faith and our ability to actually recognize God's faithfulness in our lives, proximity matters. Proximity matters. Salt has to get out of a salt shaker in order to make a difference. Light has to get out from underneath the cover to make any difference. You and I, if we're going to engage in providential relationships, we have to be in proximity. You say, well, does that mean that online doesn't count? I know, and I'm looking over here, which I just have to say, Bethany and Kelly Turner are a match set, but I don't ever get to see them sit next to one another. Praise God for today. This is wonderful. Yeah, I look over there because Bethany particularly has such a love of that area, but she has pushed so strongly that we include others, and it's so good. They have they're now meeting on Wednesday, but their group meets by way of Zoom, and they are one of the most faithful groups that meets, because somebody who's watching right now, some in Texas, some in Vermont, some in upper part of Colorado, here, and it's a variety of ages, and they take care of one another. Yes, yes. Because they have proximity into each other's lives. They know what it's about. They wrestle with issues of faith. I'm saying putting yourself in a relational proximity definitely matters. Now, I'm headed down the home stretch here, so if any of you are starting to drift, come on with me, okay? What I've noticed over the years, not only in Rock Springs, but just talking to other pastors and looking at other churches and all the churches that I've been in, I would say people will start to drift from their community of faith before they ever drift away from their faith. Just let that sit for just a second. If you start saying, I don't need this, I don't need a team, I don't need a group, you're wrong. I'm just telling you, you're wrong. Love you. You need a group of people. Let me put it a different way and put it on the screen. People lose faith when they lose contact with people of faith. You've got to have this interpersonal relationship stuff. It's so vastly important. That's why, just like the practical teaching of personal ministry, relationships are critical. Relationships are essential to growing up your faith and making it and making it fueled up. Because here's the thing. When you and I see God's faithfulness in someone else's life, it's easier to trust Him with our own life. They give testimony. They reflect the light of God back onto your life and go, oh, okay, now I can see God just a little bit more clearly. I mean, can I get an amen on that? If you are with me in this and you say God has used people in unexpected, out-of-the-blue, providential ways to help grow your faith, do you say that sometimes it helps just a little, just a little, just a little, and that's okay? And then there are other times, just like Russell and I were talking about, sometimes you have a providential relationship in the back of a cop car. Yeah? Okay. It's important that we understand God is at work. We can partner with Him. We have been talking about it. Russell's been talking about it. We've all been trying to get this in our minds. But what I'm wanting you to understand is now it's your turn. Yes. Don't play church. Be the church. Yes. This is what the church does. You have a role to play. You go, not me. I don't have it. Stop that kind of thinking. God uses ordinary people like you and me to do extraordinary things. Amen. When we say yes, whenever we make ourselves available, that's what I mean when I say lean in. Don't just show up, but show up and grow up. Do whatever it takes in someone else's life, because staying connected, this is the fill in the blank, because some of y'all have been, what is that? Yeah. Stay connected to a community of faith. When you stay connected to a community of faith, it grows your faith. If you want a fueled up faith, if you want a strong faith, you've got to put yourself in the middle of a community of faith. That's what positions you to not only be affected, but to be effective in someone else's journey. For the last 20 years, for sure, we've encouraged, we've taught, we've modeled that Rock Springs is always healthiest whenever we have healthy serving teams and healthy groups. I love the fact that we have some healthy groups meeting in homes or in a Zoom room somewhere every week. But a lot of you are not in a group. You don't have a serving team. You don't have a group. I would say, yes, Rock Springs is always healthiest whenever we are in teams and groups, but we cannot orchestrate providential relationships. All we can do is set the table and open the door. It is your turn now. You say, I don't understand it. I get it. I got three words for you. Figure it out. We will do it together. We will figure it out. We will make these things happen. Because we can't, you know, we can't create it. We can't orchestrate providential relationships, but we can increase the likelihood of them happening if we continue to build teams and build groups. That's why I said to you early, 20-somethings, I bet the registration is now open. I know you might have had something else planned, but what if this hour and a half that we'll probably have next weekend, if Jesus gives us the time, could have a trajectory-changing moment? You have to put yourself. It's like, I think I should go to CR. I think I should go to CR. Well, you can think that as long as you want. But you got to get up and go. You say, well, why should I go? You know, if you're breathing, you're probably a candidate for Celebrate Recovery. Yes. It's okay. Groups, serving teams, RSK, Fuel, RSM, RSW. We try to figure out any more letters of the alphabet we can add in there. And there's another one. I'm looking at you. There's a thing that might be launching in the fall called Starting Point that could help some of our neighbors. I want you doing life with other believers so that you can experience their faith and that they can experience your faith. Parents, that's why we say we've got these things on the Church Center app. We have them on campus. Get your kids here because a trustworthy adult besides yourself, in addition to yourself, a trustworthy adult in your child's life is even more important than whatever curriculum we may use to teach them. Because they will see what it looks like to follow Jesus in another adult's life. Every little bit matters. All of us. See, here's the thing. I don't know who the sheriff was that was driving the car that needed to listen to that podcast. I don't know his name. But in essence, what he said to Russell is, I'm sorry you're here, but would you come sit with me and let's listen to this together? For some of you, the thing you could do is just show up for things and go, come sit with me. Come hang out with me. Just come be with me. Because if we're doing this together, a single invitation could position you to be the catalyst in someone else's faith story simply because you showed up, spoke up, and said, come sit with me. Is there anybody in your life that their first step, your first step is just to help, just invite them, and they could rediscover what it means to follow Jesus, because you never know what hangs in the balance of these kinds of things. Because I'll tell you this, I have experienced this. If they show up and one day you get to stand right next to them while they're getting baptized. Yes. Oh, honey. Oh, honey. I'm just telling you. That fuels up your faith. You look at your own faith in a brand new, fresh way because like, oh, yes. Yes, this is what it's about. Your faith will blow up. It will get bigger. That is the power of providential relationships. I got a few more things to say. Yeah, what I've been telling you today is true whether you're 16 or 61. It doesn't matter. The people you choose to do life with will have an effect, good or bad. They will have influence on the direction of your life. They will have an impact on the depth and the endurance of your faith. That's why Paul said in Romans, he said, I want us to help each other with the faith that we have. Your faith will help me and my faith will help you. Y'all picking up what I'm laying down this morning? I'm just telling you. Because if you and I continue to trust God with our lives, then our faith gets bigger. It gets stronger. It gets more enduring. So I'm saying to you on online campus or in this room right now, if you have unplugged from a community of faith, this one or another one, it's time to reconnect. Today's the day. Make the decision. If you know someone who needs to get connected, can you text them? Can you write them a note? Can you call them and invite them? Just come sit with me. And who knows? Who knows? That simple invitation may turn out to be very providential in their life, like we've tried to illustrate today. And when they tell their story, perhaps at their baptism, they're going to talk about you. That's way better than Facebook. I'm just telling you. And I have a feeling that you'll probably, when you get to tell your faith story again, you're probably going to talk about them too. Way to go, church. Thank God for the community that he has put you in. Then thank the person that he's used to minister to you providentially. And it will fuel your faith. And then ask God, what can I do to do that for someone else? Because this is the last thing and it's on the screen. When you see God's faithfulness in someone else's life, it is always easier to trust him with your own. You get it? Good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you so much, and I'm thrilled with the opportunity to be able to express what I did today. I hope that it was not confusing. I pray that you do that thing that only you can do, and that is you bring wisdom out of feeble words, and you cause it to land in someone's thoughts, in their mind, but more importantly, in their heart and their emotions, their spirit. And when you do that, you show us where it needs to land and how it needs to have an impact. But Lord, it's that next part. It's that next part. And that is, if we would just push through our own inadequacy and our fear and simply say, I see where it fits. I see what I'm supposed to do. Now, God, give me the courage because I'm about to step out. I'm going to step out. I'm going to step into this. And I'm going to see what you're going to do. And God, I pray that you will, as you always do, prove your faithfulness in it all. Bring people to you today for the very first time to be your forgiver. I mean, their forgiver and leader. That's what we want you to be. But for those of us who've been around this and have gotten a little calloused, help us to be fresh, to refuel our faith, and to do it in a way that honors you and blesses a lot of people. Lord, I love you. I look forward to singing this next song because it just kind of wraps everything up. You are so good. You are so good. You are so incredibly great. I want us to worship that way. So God be honored, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.